Welcome to 5.0, Fivefold and Beyond with Matt
and Amy.
In the 5.0 podcast, we're going to peel back the layers of the Ephesians 4 model, revealing a thriving church, ministry, or organization. This will help leaders to identify, work together, and implement or raise up the believers who want to move in their calling. Watch those who are in your care, and they become alive with a fresh passion as the anointings on their life are revealed, encouraged, and released.
We also offer seminars, conferences, and strategic advising to pastors and leaders. We'll sit down with you and help you to learn how to have a fivefold influenced church or organization. Also, how to identify and integrate people with fivefold giftings into your teams and into your organization. So connect with us at ihimtv.com. That's ihimtv.com.
So get ready to engage as these podcasts will open an understanding, remove confusion of the fivefold, and open your eyes and heart to what you and those around you carry.
In this episode, we want to look at prophetic culture. Now, we've discussed in previous podcasts, we've discussed the pastoral realm of this kingdom. We've discussed the teacher, the evangelist. Today, we want to begin to break into the prophetic. Now, remember, these are just introductions. We're going to go a little bit deeper too later on, but we want you to get a good feel of today what it looks like or what it feels like when the prophetic is active in an organization, in a church, in someone's life. What are some earmarks of that? So that's what we're going to look at today. And I'm going to start out by reading Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. It says, we are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. And you know, the beauty is that as we operate in what we're called to, we're that brick, we're that stone that is perfectly placed and it meshes together with all of the others. So we're going to look at how the prophetic meshes into all of this. So Matt, maybe you can talk to us a little bit about what we even mean when we say prophetic.
Right. And being this is just an introduction, we want to keep things simple, folks, and just be able to break down these fivefold offices like we've been doing in four sections. If you go back to our podcast, which we encourage you, if you have not, and to listen from the beginning. So we're kind of trying to keep things very simple and applicable and people to be able to identify what they have in their life. And so for the purposes of this broadcast at this particular time with the prophetic culture title that we're going with in this show, I have a definition that will keep it clear. What do we mean when I say prophetic? And we want to define that as this. It is the divine movement of God's presence revealing his heart and thoughts.
I like that. Because a lot of times when people say prophetic or prophecy or prophet, we're just thinking about someone telling something like foretelling the future, which is a part of the prophetic. We're not denying that fact, but there's so much more that we're looking at here.
Right. And so let's just mention the elephant in the room, the two sides of the prophetic. Basically, it depends on your circles that you're in. When you hear, we're going to have a prophetic service or we're going to have a prophetic Bible study or whatever the terminology, there's two sides to that. And we're going to be looking in this episode at one of those sides. But probably the first side, the first thing that when someone hears the word prophetic in some circles, it means end time stuff. It means future events like the Bible books like Daniel, Ezekiel, Matthew mentions Matthew 24, Book of Revelation, all these things about angelic hosts and armies moving, end times, our destiny, what's going to happen on the earth, and those things. That is correct in that. However, in the terminology we're using, because we're talking about the prophetic culture where prophets and prophetic things happen. We're going to look on this side, and that brings me to point two of the definition of what we're talking about. So what we're going to be looking at and describing in the next four podcasts is the unveiling of the Lord's intentions for the now things of the kingdom, for his bride, what we call the church. And so when we use the term prophetic, we are speaking about that divine movement of God's presence that's revealing God's heart and his thoughts for you as an individual, for a congregation, for a region, for a nation, for the world. It depends. It can break out into many things. And so we're going to come at it from that when we talk about the prophetic culture.
I like that, because what we're seeing, well, I guess what we have to be careful of is just slapping the word prophetic onto like prophetic worship or prophetic service or prophetic prayer night. I can't even say it when I say it over and over again. But we can't just slap the word on there and expect, oh, you know, it's going to be great. And we're edgy. We're modern. We're up with the times because we slapped a word on there. We really need to understand, what does that look like? What does that mean? And that's what we want to look at, you know, as we've walked into this realm, this prophetic realm.
The prophetic city, since I've been talking about the cities.
What are we smelling? What are we seeing? What things should be evident there in this prophetic city if we're going to slap the word on there? Because it's not just about being, you know, relevant with the times or, you know, making us sound really spiritual. We've got to deliver.
Correct. And so we're going to look at some aspects or some traits of the culture. If you walk into, a congregation that is prophetic, highly prophetic in nature, maybe it's one of their key tones or sounds that they're emanating from that group. This is a group or a person, you know, comes from their life. You're going to have these traits and these things that are going to be in the atmosphere, like the smells that we described about our city, you know, the prophetic city, the sounds that will meet your ear and the sights. And so here's what you're going to have. Just because you claim to be spirit-filled or a spirit-filled church or a particular denomination or have a Pentecostal type experience, we're going to talk about that all these these next four podcasts, does not guarantee that the prophetic is functioning. And so we're going to just talk about that. So when you come in, let's get back to the prophetic culture. Probably one of the things that really becomes evident is, because of Revelation, there's a uncovering of the hidden. Things that are that we seek out through Revelation comes. Revelation just means that God brings things into clarity. It's the mind of God revealed. Aha moments. We begin to have that function and flow of the Spirit amongst us. And there's that spirit of revelation. So hidden things and hidden secrets. And you could have read a verse even in the Bible many, many times. And then when the Holy Spirit just touches you and touches that, all of a sudden that verse became so real, even though you read it 100 times, and that's because it became a revelation. So this is like a normal occurrence in a prophetic culture.
I really like the fact that, well, actually, let me talk about one thing I don't like first, because a lot of Christians will use that verse. I believe it's in Isaiah, where it says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways higher than our ways. You know, who can know the mind of Christ? I probably butchered that in the way I presented it, but you know the verse. If you've been in church for any length of time.
You're mixing the New Testament verse of who can know the depth and the height as well.
I'm not really thinking that.
Because the mind of Christ is not the Old Testament.
Okay, so we've got both of those, but you throw those two verses together and you've got the Amy version. No, I'm not trying to establish new truth or take it somewhere else, but you know what verses I'm talking about. A lot of Christians use that verse as a disconnect between really knowing what God wants and, you know, being able to do what they want. And, well, I can't know the mind of God anyway, or I don't understand his thoughts because they're so much higher than mine. And it almost becomes a cop out. But when you have a prophetic flow in the house, in your life, in the church, when you start to have that prophetic flow, what it does is it reveals God's mind. It reveals his thoughts. It reveals his ways. So then we have to take responsibility to walk in it, right? But at least there's that revelation of it. So I no longer have to deal with the disconnect between knowing what God's heart really is and knowing what he wants. What an amazing place to be. Yes, I have responsibility to walk in it now, but wow, how many times have we wished that? Like, man, I really wish I knew what God wanted in this situation. I really knew which path he wanted me to take, or what he was saying about this issue. And the great news is that through the prophetic realm, we can.
Right. And our heart and desire is, like I said, to the spirit-filled leaders, maybe that think that prophetic outside of the studying the book of Revelation is at least speaking in tongues or prophesying, that there's so much more. And so in the prophetic realm, that's what we want to keep going to. And so that brings me to the next trait that you're going to find in a prophetic culture is the spiritual gifts are moving freely among the people, among a person, from a person, sorry. And there's just this atmosphere of that the gifts being released. And there's so many gifts, and this isn't a broadcast about the gifts, but that they are very evident.
And definitely the prophetic creates that kind of environment where those things
brings
can
freedom
flow
into that. Now, you know, later on one of our podcasts, you know, the pitfalls, we're going to get to that, but we'll discuss. So don't worry right now. We'll discuss how to handle crazies and how do you train your congregation to move into stuff like that. This, you know, so many pastors I know that will walk away. They believe it, but they shun from it.
They avoid it for sure.
They have no idea and they don't know what they're missing on that. And we can help with
but
that.
But the things they have to deal with. Oh, definitely. That can be frightening to say the least for a leader.
Yeah, but with anything really.
Exactly.
If you really think about your pastor, it's the same thing.
But I find the prophetic, and again, we're probably going to get there later on, but you know, when people attach God's name to it, well, thus saith the Lord.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in pitfalls.
Oh, wow.
Sure.
Yeah. So we get it. We get it. If you're like thinking, oh, yeah, well, that's all well and good, but you didn't deal with what I've had to deal with, just hold on. We'll get there.
You're going to find watchmen, and that's not male nor female, watchmen in that church or congregation or whatever, and we'll describe that later. That's a prophetic culture. A willingness to engage in spiritual warfare is also found in a prophetic culture. Won't hide under a rock, won't bow, but we'll engage in the spiritual warfare that is suddenly thrust on them, or a strategic advance into the enemy's territory.
Another thing that you see in when the prophetic is flowing is life. Like there's just this atmosphere of life, growth, just that feeling of freedom that starts to come in when the prophetic is flowing. There's just something about it that disrupts the stillness. And I don't mean like a good stillness. I mean like the dust that's settled. You know, I've been in some groups, some churches, and the dust has settled pretty thick.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophetic just stirs that up and brings that life. It's kind of like, I'm skipping down on my list here, but to describe it, it's like this flow of fresh air. You know, when you're in some places and there's no air movement, the humidity's thick, you're smelling all the smells, and some of them are not so good, and they're just kind of sitting there heavy. But the prophetic is like this flow of fresh air, this breath that just comes in and brings a freshness in life. I love that about the prophetic.
Also, you're going to find an anointed worship. When you come into a congregation, you can tell the prophetic culture is there and it freely flows. I'm not talking about new songs, old songs. I'm not talking about the size of the band. I'm not talking about what instruments you have. We're talking anointed worship. There's many skilled musicians and singers, we'll put it that way. But it does not necessarily equate anointing. And in a prophetic culture, you'll find there's just something, even though you heard this song before, it's just touching and impacting you and those around you. Something's different. And that is because the anointing is freely able to flow in a prophetic type culture. And it swallows up. Remember, the greater always swallows up the lesser. And so the anointing swallows up the perfection and the performance because you need to be skilled. I believe in excellence and being skilled. Don't get up there if you can only play the key of D and you just keep hitting that chord of D and on your guitar and that's all you do. No, you shouldn't be there yet.
No, in Psalms it tells us play skillfully with a loud noise.
Exactly.
So I'm talking otherwise about, just play very quietly.
Right.
There's not skill.
And you know, this isn't a session on just prophetic worship. We'll have that. We'll probably have a guest with us when we get to that time and what that really means, because that even means different to some groups. prophetic worship. And so we're going to open that up too. And remember, there's always different expressions of any of these things that we're talking about. There's no one way and it has to be this way or no. There's different expressions because you have different people gathered together with different stories and a different experience.
We mentioned earlier about spiritual gifts having the ability to move freely among the people when the prophetic is in place. Some of those we see, so it's the gifts, but also we're seeing like the power of God just seems to have that vehicle to flow more freely. So you start seeing things like deliverance, signs, and wonders. They start to become more evident because of the power of God that flows through the realm of the prophetic.
Yep. You'll see a lot of activation, especially activation of faith, which hopefully will unlock hunger, and then character building comes out of that. But believing for the impossible in your midst, it's not just a theological assessment or agreement mentally, or a theological, yeah, we believe in that, but it's actual a reality. And you see a lot of testimonies and a lot of barriers broken into the impossible.
Which really builds momentum, because when we believe something, not just when we believe something, but when we express faith, because remember, faith is not just a belief, it's action too. So we start to behave in a way that reflects we believe what we're saying, right? And so as we start to do that, you see things happening, momentum picks up. And two, just not let me go on seeing stuff, it restores and expands our visionary capacity when the prophetic is released in our midst. So it helps us to start to see things that were blocked before, that we weren't seeing. Now, not just the hidden things, but the things that God wants to show us, where he wants to take us, like all of this starts to open up.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Often in the prophetic culture, you'll see direction. That ties in with vision, but also personal direction, confirmation, these type of things. People seeking the Lord, they heard the Lord, but often in a prophetic culture, there's confirmation to the voice of the Lord that they hear in their life. So in our experiences over the years, we have many, many, many stories and more to come, I'm sure. Sometimes we find ourselves, we go into different churches for different reasons. And every once in a while, you land in a stagnant church. You get into this place where God just opens the door. He needs you there for a reason. And we've been in a few of those. And, you know, we don't turn down invites. We just have to make sure it's in the timing of God. But we've been to stagnant churches, and it as soon as the service opens up and you go, oh boy, okay. And we just drove in hundreds of miles, whatever it is, and where, because of experience, we know where this is going. We know the level tops out. But because they have given us a freedom to be able to minister there, by the time we get there, and it's not just all about us, but we are the carriers of that prophetic glory, and that glory right then, since we're talking about prophetic culture and I move in apostolic prophetic. And so as we get up there, immediately the prophetic culture has to come into play, which is that openness of the anointing. You take it to a whole other level. And many times, I didn't have to start on the runway and wait till I get to 10,000 feet before I get really into it. Right away, already from the beginning, during their worship, during everything, you're seeking God. God, how am I going to open this when it's passed to me and I do my part? Thank you, Lord, for their part, but my part, what level do you need me to operate? What do you need me to do? Many times, the honey of heaven has come in and just the people were open and they just experienced a prophetic flow. God began speaking. Things began to happen. The dryness that you talked about fell off, and you just trust and hope, oh, Lord, let them continue to seek you and not go back into this, the old form, into the old mold. But Lord, may you brought some life that causes them to run forward, to move forward into some things. And so we have many of these. We know what the prophetic culture looks like and can't reduplicate it in every church, especially as traveling ministries to go and do that as apostles. But as we come in, we bring our part, and oftentimes we want the leaders to be blessed. We want you to be blessed. And so we just move on that level. If we have the openness and bang, God does his thing. So whether that's you have an abiding prophetic culture or not, I believe a prophetic culture can be brought in and experienced as to see what, especially, well, we want more of this or not. You know, because we all make the final decision at the end of the day. Many leaders, congregations make their own decisions, right? Yes. And we have the results because of those decisions. And so that's just a little personal experience. I mean, I have all kinds of stories that we can get into. But
so let's do a little call to action here as we wrap this up.
Yep.
Maybe you've been experiencing some stagnation in your life personally, or maybe in your group, your organization, your church. I know we're not just talking to pastors here, but whatever realm of influence you have, if you've been experiencing some stagnation, it's like, man, I want to go further. It seems like we're spinning our wheels here, kind of stuck. It's really about connecting to the prophetic, because the reason the prophetic, just to kind of bring it back around, the reason that that brings that freshness, that revitalization, is because, remember, it's a now word from God. It's like, I'm here. I'm not hearing yesterday. I'm not eating yesterday's manna. Remember the Israelites when they were in the wilderness, the manna only lasted a day. By tomorrow, that stuff would be rotten,
right?
Because it just showed the importance of our daily bread and that daily anointing, that daily freshness. And that's what God is about. He's a now God. He's not a yesterday God. Thank God he was and he is to come, but he also is. And that's when we tap into the prophetic. It's like we're hearing what God is speaking right now. What's on God's heart right now? What are his thoughts for me right now? And I love that when the prophetic starts to flow, it becomes so relevant. It's not about, you know, what's the newest program we can implement to make this thing fly and to touch our culture. And yes, I believe we need to have relevant methods. But more importantly is the relevant word. What is God saying right now? And so that's maybe what you need to tap into. If you're experiencing some stagnation, you feel stuck, your group feels stuck. How do we get the prophetic released? Who can we bring in? Who can we connect with that flows this way? And we're going to kind of unwrap some more of that in the next two or three podcasts. But how can we connect to get that life begin flowing, or even develop that? If maybe you're carrying something that's prophetic, you know there's some stirrings, there's some things going on that you're hearing things, you're seeing things, and you're like, I know there's some prophetic there. How do I develop that? So it's really getting in touch and connecting with those who are prophetic to just release that in you.
Yeah. And so in our next episode, podcast episode, stay with us. It's going to be the prophetic DNA. We're going to be talking about specific gifts. We're also going to be mentioning about a prophet, though we'll look at that more closely in Knock Knock, Who's There. But in the prophetic DNA, we're going to talk about that, all the different types of gifts that flow, the importance. Why should I even activate that? Why should I have that? And so that's for our next broadcast. But for this one right here, right now, just ask the Lord for that fresh air that Amy talked about to come into your spirit and revitalize you. Please connect with us. We have different resources. We can have conversations with you. Go to ihimtv.com. That's ihimtv.com. Just connect through there, through us, through our email, whatever, and we will respond to you. And we thank you for listening today. And please continue to share this. Subscribe if you have not already on your podcast platforms, and share this with the world. That's how we get the gospel out there. Be blessed.